Well, good afternoon. I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is Showdown, and it is Tuesday, and that's the 16th of April, one day after the first day of Donald Trump's criminal trial, his criminal descent into the American prison system, which appears to be rapidly approaching. Now, I have to admit that we did have a problem yesterday. I mean, I could make up stories, but I'll just tell you the real one. Some Trumpers attacked the studio and cut down the AT&T wires and tried to keep us off the air. I fought them off valiantly, and they're all now in jail themselves, and they'll go through our criminal justice system just like everybody else. It just doesn't pay to do those kind of things. And that's just the kind of story that you could hear if you had Donald Trump in front of you. He could make these things up just beautifully, and he would never back down. He would never tell you anything but that the fight against the Trumpers was beautiful. Well, it was. It was. And obviously we won because we're here. Here we are. So it's Showdown. And I can tell you that great things are happening in the American legal system, far beyond what anybody imagined possible just a couple of weeks ago. And I say anybody because I have so many friends and family members who have insisted that Donald Trump has superpowers and that these superpowers allow him to walk away from any misdeed, any lie, any courtroom disruption, any contempt charge. They've all explained to me that no one could get this guy. Not Judge Mershon, not Jack Smith, not Alvin Bragg. Nobody. Nobody can get him. But what we found out is that this little old 78-year-old guy has for two days now, sat in the courtroom falling asleep. And every time he wakes up, he hears somebody saying something he doesn't like, and he starts to jump up like he wants to yell and scream, and his attorneys have to pull him back down because Judge Mershon has explained exactly what will happen if Donald does this. Now, to be fair to all my friends and family, Donald did sort of get a little worked up today and began to go after a witness. And Judge Mershon made it very clear that this will only put him in jail, that he's going to jail if he does this, that if he disrupts the courtroom, if he disrupts this trial, he is going to jail. And I don't know what the real answer is between these two possibilities. One is that he really wants to go to jail, because he thinks that if he goes to jail, that his take in terms of the money raising will just rise so high that it will just be phenomenal, and that he'll just get out of jail in a little bit anyway, so it's no big deal. Now, that's one possibility. And I'll tell you the truth, I sort of lean toward that one. I think Donald wants to go to jail. And the reason I think he wants to go to jail is because he said he wants to go to jail. He told one of the judges, put me in jail. I'm ready. Do it. So maybe that is what he wants. I wouldn't be surprised. Now, the other possibility is, and I say I'm leaning towards the first one, but I'm also leaning towards the second one, which is that he's so deeply mentally ill that he's just out of control. He can't control himself. He can't control his thoughts. He can't control his anger. And on a moment's notice, he's ready to jump up and start screaming at everybody. You know, one person today, and I don't even remember who it was, but it's probably one of the people on MSNBC, but I'm not sure. But this person said, look, if you were a pitcher and you were about to go into a really important game, when you were going out onto the field, would you first go to the umpire and call him every dirty name that you could think of? Tell him that he can't see, he can't think, that he's an imbecile. Would you do that? And of course, the answer is no. This is a guy who calls the balls and strikes. You don't want to make him crazy. Not to mention the fact, if you go far enough, he'll throw you out of the game. Well, that's Donald. He walks into the courtroom, screaming hysterically at everybody, jumping up every time somebody says something he doesn't like, and in between that, he's sleeping. But then he, I don't know, hears his name or something, whatever catches his attention. And suddenly he jumps up and he realizes it's time to start screaming. I assure you that we will not get through 2 weeks. Let's say 2 weeks before he's doing this. And I can only say, I do believe that the first time he does it, that they're going to lock him up. And here, first of all, they've already said they're going to lock him up. They're telling him, you're going to go to jail. Donald doesn't want to go and be at the trial. He doesn't want to be there. He wants to be somewhere else. He wants to be at his son's high school graduation. Well, one of the points that has been made is that if he wanted to be at the high school graduation, he shouldn't have been a criminal. He shouldn't have broken the law. You don't get to be a criminal, break the law, be under criminal indictment, and then tell everybody, I think I want to be here. I think I want to be there. No, this is a deal where they control you. Your existence is determined by the judge. Where you go, how long you're there, what you can say, everything. It is controlled by the judge. This is no joke. This is our criminal justice system. Why do you think Donald fought all last week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, filing things right and left, anything he could file, hoping that the appeals court would shut down the case so that he would not have to sit through this? But he is sitting through it. And everybody has turned all of his requests down, and he's got more requests out there right now. He keeps throwing requests out for the trial to be stopped. They're not going to stop the trial. They're just not going to do it. They've got 6 people already picked for the jury. There was some talk that it might take 2 to 3 weeks to pick the jury. They've already got 6 people in 2 days. It is possible that we'll have the entire jury by the end of the week. If that's true, this trial will be underway in no time flat. Before you know it, We're going to be following all of the information that the judge has decided he will allow in. And believe me, if you're following this, if you're listening closely, they are allowing in everything. Now, it's true. They're only allowing a transcript of the Hollywood Access tape, not the actual tape. The judge felt that it might be prejudicial to actually hear the words coming out of Donald's mouth. Probably would be. And I can understand that this judge is trying to, in some way, be fair to Donald. And yet, on the other hand, there's only so far you can go because Donald begs for you to kick him down, to hold him down, to put him in jail. And listen, all this talk about how Donald is being mistreated in ways that wouldn't happen to anybody else but Donald Trump because he's the victim. That is so untrue because we all know it's the opposite. All of the judges, forget Aileen Cannon, who's somehow in his pocket some way, somehow. We don't know what that's about yet, but we'll find out, I assure you. And she is very foolish to be doing this because we are going to find out. But here's the better point. All the real judges, they are doing things with Trump that they would never do with a normal criminal defendant, because every other criminal defendant would already be in jail for the things that Trump has done. Just not even in the case, just during the pretrial activity, all this screaming at the people in the courtroom, all this writing media posts about the families of everybody. All of these personal attacks would put anybody behind bars. Wouldn't even be a hesitation. Wouldn't even be a warning. But with Donald, it's exactly the opposite. And this is why my family and friends are all saying the things that they're saying to me about how Donald's never going to jail. He's never going to be held accountable. None of this is really going to come to anything. It's all going to be just swept away. But you see, that's not what's happening. It is absolutely not being swept away. It is exactly the opposite that we find happening here. Donald Trump is getting himself into a corner from which he will never extricate himself except by going into the jail and having the cell closed behind him. That's it. There were a couple of things just yesterday which I was so anxious to talk about then, but that's okay. It wasn't going anywhere. It's all here today for us. And as an example, there were three posts that Donald put online that were meant to intimidate witnesses. I mean, it was direct attacks on three different witnesses. You know, Michael Cohen and the bunch of them. And the judge was faced by Alvin Bragg's group, and the judge was asked to rule in the following way: to first of all give $1,000 fines for each one of the attempts to intimidate the witnesses. That's $3,000, absolutely nothing to Trump. He can pull it off his credit card. We know he doesn't have any money, but he can get it off the card. Not a problem. So, the next request is that the judge tell Donald that there won't be any more chances. That the next time he does this, whether it's a witness or a juror, the very next time that they're being the team is requesting that Donald be put in jail and that he be told, one more time, you go to jail. The judge said yesterday that he would rule on this request after lunch. He came back from lunch and he said, look, next Monday, we'll have a little hearing on this. Each side can brief me on what you think, and then I'll give a ruling. And I understand from what all the lawyers and all the former prosecutors are saying, I understand that the judge is doing this in order to preserve the record so that there will not be the potential for an appeal on these issues at a later date. But like everyone else that's against Donald, and that's a big part of this country, I'm a little frustrated by that because he's been given about 50 different chances and he still keeps doing this. I mean, not even to mention, which we should mention, the E. Jean Carroll case where he's still attacking her, although he's sort of forgot about her for a couple of days because he's so busy intimidating witnesses and jurors. And jurors, today with the jurors. I mean, he doesn't even wait a day going after the jurors. And the judge told him, you're going to go to jail. Now, that's the thing. Everybody keeps telling Donald, you're going to go to jail. And Donald is either doing one of two things. Pushing it so that he will go to jail, or thinking that he can just keep doing this and nobody will ever react. They'll just keep threatening him but never do anything because they're too afraid. And honestly, they appear to be afraid, but they're not afraid the way he thinks. They're afraid of wrecking the case and setting up a potential appeal. That's what they're afraid of. They do not want to violate his due process rights. That's what's going on here. They want to give him every protection that most people would never see. Most people would never get this kind of treatment. I said it at the outset here, most people would just go to jail. Not Donald. Because they want to make sure that he'll never be able to make the case that this was rigged against him. They want to make sure that when he gets behind bars, that's it, that he's there. So this is really for his protection. I know he thinks that he's just getting away with it because all his life he's gotten away with it. But this is really being done to protect us. That's the truth. It's being done to protect us, to protect the system, to protect our democracy. This is being done so that Donald can never jump up again and do any of this craziness, cause any of this commotion. No more Adolf Hitler. No more poisoning the blood of America. No more stop the Africans, stop the Muslims. No more stop the Mexicans, they're rapists. None of that. That's what's going on here. This is an effort to stop all of that for good from Donald. I mean, clearly, there are other people who believe this sort of thing and who would fight to hurt minority groups. To stop immigration, to prevent this country from operating its democratic system. Yes, democratic system. This is a democracy. And by the way, Yeah, it's a republic. It's a democratic republic, but it's a democracy. If you don't believe this, listen, here's what you can do. And I can say this with the complete safety of believing that no one would even consider taking this up. But you should. You can get this real easy. There's a book by Robert Dahl, D-A-H-L. And the name of the book is On Democracy. And it was written in the 1950s. Dahl is considered to be one of the greatest scholars when it comes to understanding our democracy. And he outlines this perfectly in the book, not with even the thought that anybody would be arguing with him, but he outlines the ways in which we are a democracy. And he also outlines the fact that that includes this concept of being a democratic republic. I mean, all these word fights are a joke. We know we've got representatives that we vote for, and when we vote for them, we make the decisions, and then our representatives further make the decisions, and that's a democracy, according to Robert Dahl. Read the book. First of all, you'd enjoy the book. Secondly, you'd learn something. And third, you'd understand that this is a democracy. We make the decisions for how we're going to run this place. Donald Trump would like to replace the system. He would like to make the decisions as to how we're going to run this place. You know, Arthur Schlesinger some years back wrote a book called The Imperial Presidency. And when that book came out, everybody jumped up and down and said, you know what? Schlesinger is right. We have created a presidency that is rapidly going in a direction that is counter to what George Washington had said we're going to avoid. You know, when he decided to only run for the presidency twice, and he said, because we're electing presidents, not kings. However, we certainly did in the 70s, well, 60s and 70s, Lyndon Johnson, in foreign policy, we headed in the direction of what became the imperial presidency, and Richard Nixon was, you know, one of the greatest violators of all of this. Remember, he was elected in 68 and 72. Hard to even believe. But anyway, it's good to know these things about how our country developed, and that we have said, look, we went too far and we got to pull this thing back. But never did it get to the point where we were talking about a president trying to remove our democratic principles. That was never at issue. It's at issue here. And everybody knows it. And really, if you go pick up Timothy Snyder's book, S-N-Y-D-E-R, all about fascism and authoritarianism and the like, I guarantee you, read some Timothy Snyder and you will understand what Donald Trump is doing. I mean, there are lots of people out here who have written great things that are worthy, first of all, of your time reading, which no one wants to do anymore. Certainly Donald doesn't read, didn't even read the briefings that came into his house or his living quarters when he was the president. Didn't want to read anything. They drew pictures. He could look at the pictures. That worked. You know, he could see that picture of Adolf Hitler with his arms stretched up in the air. He understood how that worked. No, really. Again, that's just his wife told that story. So, you know, you don't even have to guess. But here we are. Here we are. And he's finally in a courtroom, dramatically constrained by the powers of a judge. And all he can do is go to sleep and then wake up hysterical. I think I can assure you that within 2 weeks, either they're going to just put him to sleep in that courtroom and keep him asleep, or when he wakes up, I assure you, he is going to go nuts and the judge is finally going to lock him up. Now, it would be much better if we could get to the end of this trial in 4 to 6 weeks, have him found guilty, and then sentenced to jail. But if he insists on threatening people, threatening the judge, of course, that's actually allowed under the gag order, because the judge, again, trying to protect this man's rights. Yes, Alfred Montgomery, I see you. And by the way, Alfred, if you would like to, because I was going to give this out anyway, but I'll give it out to you. You can call me after I do 3 commercial breaks. You can call me at 314-471-1968. That's 314-471-1968, and I'll put you on the air here. I mean, I want you on the air. I've been thinking about this for several days. Alfred's running for sheriff in the city of St. Louis, and he's great. And he could be our next great sheriff in the city of St. Louis. So I definitely want Alfred in here. So let me set this up real quick. Click on the Bluetooth. There, push the button. And then when you call, we'll be ready for you, Alfred. No problem. But I do want to make it clear that I am certain in my mind. I mean, I believe that Donald will, in the next 2 weeks, be in a jail cell. I think he will. I think he won't be able to control himself in the courtroom. They're going to have that hearing on Monday. The judge is going to decide how he's going to implement this process of controlling Donald in the courtroom, which he has warned him already that that's exactly what's going to happen. He's going to be controlled, and it's going to be jail if that's what it takes, because he's going to stop. And again, you know, the judge can preserve the record. The judge can be cautious and make sure that Donald's rights are protected. But none of that will stop Donald from doing himself in, because he will. Okay, so Alfred can't make it. He's got a meeting he's got to get to in a few minutes, and that's fine. Alfred Montgomery is running for sheriff. He's really great, young man, really smart, and I'm looking forward to him winning. And on top of that, I think I feel very confident that this race for sheriff is just the beginning of Alfred in St. Louis politics. No joke. He qualifies for this because he was a deputy sheriff. This is his area. But I can tell you now that after he does a stint over there in the sheriff's department, Alfred's going to go to higher levels in our political system. He's a great young man. So we'll talk to Alfred later. But at any rate, I do think it's important to understand here this process of issuing gag orders, which is not always necessary, but in this case it has been, because Donald's threatening judges. Judges, yes, he's allowed to do that. But he can't threaten jurors, and he can't threaten witnesses. And you know, that is a problem. Because, you know, if you think about it yourself, if you were on one of these juries, you know, you might be all pumped up about what a great and important case this is in American history, which it is. But there's still a fear factor because people threaten people today. And I think many of us are very well aware of what happened to Paul Pelosi. People showing up at his house and cracking his skull with a hammer because Donald tells them, go get Nancy Pelosi. Go get Mike Pence. Go get Chuck Schumer. All of these people, go get them. Go get Joe Biden. We need to lock them up anyway. Yeah, all that's fine and funny for some people. But it's not funny in terms of the system that we're supposed to believe in. But I will say, I hope that you're giving some attention to this during the day, because this is an amazing example of how our system really works. This is an example of democracy and justice and freedom and individual rights. You know, Donald says it's a witch hunt and he's being tried for nothing. Let me tell you something. If he were being tried for nothing, I mean, think about it, really. If he were being tried for nothing, they'd go into the courtroom. The 12 jurors would hear that there's nothing. And then it would all be over. Because one of two things would happen. One juror, anyway, would jump up and say, I can't acquit, I can't convict this guy. Now, that wouldn't acquit him, but it wouldn't convict him if just one person stood up and said, this is ridiculous. But instead, there are going to be 12 people, and they are going to hear a case that is going to be rock solid. You know, people talk about Michael Cohen and what a liar he is. Well, you know, Michael Cohen, one of the lies that he told is that he said that he was a liar. That was a lie, because he did that because he did not want his family to be put at risk. Instead, he was prepared to go to jail. He pled guilty. He spoke to the court. He told the court what he did, which he says now he did not do. But he said it because he just wanted to go to jail and end it for his family. He did not want to put them all at risk. But at any rate, it doesn't even matter what he did or why he did it. Doesn't matter at all. This case is so locked down by documents. Documents that show who wrote the checks, where the money went, why it went there, how this whole process developed. It's all there. But before we do that, let's do dinner at Wendy's. Now, in the first place, Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and they've got great food. They've got the meats that are smoked. They've got wings. They've got pizza. They've got onion rings and baby back ribs. They've got cheeseburgers and patty melts. I mean, this is a great place to eat. There's just no getting around it. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and you can just walk in and ask for Ben, and he'll say hi, spend some time with you. I've said before, let's say you're out here and you're a Trumper and you have no friends left. Well, you can go right in. Believe me, this is not about any of that. This is about feeding you. This is about getting you something to eat. And you could even buy a friend. But seriously, Chesterfield Airport Road, 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. This is Wendy's. The food is great. Check them out. Now, if you're looking for jewelry, my friend Al and his son AJ are at 4506 Hampton, and the name of their company is Jewels on Hampton. They buy and sell coins, jewelry. They fix watches. They design jewelry. They have their own creative designs, or you can go in and tell them this is what I want, and they'll do exactly what you ask them for. So, go to Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton, and you'll have a great experience there with jewelry. With Al and AJ, they are just terrific. And as I keep saying every day, all of these places where the owners are there on site, they're just great businesses. It's just the way to do business, and it's good for you, it's good for them, it's good for everybody. Jewels on Hampton. Check them out here in St. Louis. And finally, the St. Louis Suit Company, you know, you can't beat them. You really can't. I mean, I love them. I love my suits. I love my ties, my $5 ties. They're silk ties. You couldn't find better ties. I mean, Donald Trump would have sold you one of those ties for $50, and when you wrapped it around your neck, it would have choked you. But these are different. $5, no choking. You're safe. You'll be happy. You'll enjoy wearing these ties, and they'll even help you match them with your suits, because just like in my case, I am colorblind, so I don't know what I'm putting on. But they tell me at the St. Louis Suit Company what to match, and I do it. I follow their instructions, and it works out great. Jay and Nick are the owners, and their families there. Everyone's there. You'll love it. The St. Louis Suit Company, they've been there in Clayton on the corner of Forsyth and Central for 29 years. Phyllis Scales, a great friend of mine, says, "Hey, Kaysen, you were speaking about Trump, and maybe one day he will go to jail." And then in all caps, "I'm waiting." Well, Phyllis, you're not going to have to wait long, really, because this is not like even having to go through the trial. This is violating gag orders, violating decorum in the courtroom. You go into that courtroom and you act with contempt, then the judge will hold you in contempt and you will go to jail. Now, that isn't 6 years in jail, no. But, you know, a day, 2 days, 3 days, and then we'll see what Donald wants. He may want to be in jail. He may go to jail and find that all of his people who are currently eating dog food, no money, maybe nowhere to live, but they find a dollar and they send it to Trump. That's what we're dealing with. And that's what he wants. He doesn't care about you. He cares about his dollar, because he's got to pay these lawyers. It's not like before. You know, I always tell my favorite story, which is over at Trump Tower, where the piano tuner would show up and tune all the pianos in Trump Tower, because there are many pianos there. And then when he was through, Donald tells him, "I'm going to sue you, and I'm not going to pay you, so get out of here." See, that works. That has worked great for Trump over the years. You know, it's just like right now, he is suing his partners in Trump Media. And that's a good one, too. That's a great story. You know, Trump Media was acquired by a SPAC, S-P-A-C, Special Purpose Acquisition Company. It's a shell. It goes public. It brought in $300 million. Brought in $300 million. And they had to go find a business. The business they found was Trump's business. You know, the crazy thing that he calls Truth Social. Talk about irony. Truth Social coming from Donald Trump, who has never, ever told the truth. Never. You know, people like to say, well, when he says his name, that's the truth. But we don't even really know that for sure. I wouldn't trust it. But at any rate, Truth Social, acquired by this SPAC, and when it went public as Trump Media, it was $80 a share. I mean, that was only maybe 8, 9, 10 days ago. It is now $22 a share, dropped another $4 a share today. It is plunging. I mean, I told this story right from the beginning. This company had, and this is funny, it had $5 million in revenue in its first 3 years of operation. $5 million, that's nothing. And then on top of that, they lost, on the $5 million of revenue, they lost $58 million. So on a $58 million loss with $5 million worth of revenues, they pumped that thing on the first day to $80 a share, which I haven't done the math, but I know they said it was like $8 billion at the high. So that would put it down to somewhere around $2 billion, $3 billion now, somewhere in that area, $2.5 billion. But here's the point on it. It's really great. It's going to zero. And the reason it's going to zero is Trump and his buddies thought they were going to get so rich. But now in the plunge, they've gotten so fearful that they have filed to sell their shares. Now, you understand, we've talked about this, that they can't sell, you know, within 6 months. They got to wait 6 months. But there is a deal where they can arrange something at the company and sell if the board of directors agrees under certain conditions, and then they can sell. But guess what? It's all collapsing. I've heard people say, well, guess what? He'll still walk away with $1 billion anyway. Yeah, he had $7 billion or whatever it was. Now maybe $1 billion. But here's the problem. That's at this price. If they all go to sell, there won't be any buyers. It'll be $1 a share, and he'll be lucky to come out with enough to match the money that he gets off his credit card so he can go get something to eat when he gets out of the courtroom before they put him in jail. You got to understand, when my family and friends say that Donald Trump has superpowers, he does not. He is in serious trouble. I think his only time for a respite out of all of this is when he goes to sleep in the courtroom. So that's sort of a good thing for him. Go to sleep, Donald. Keep you out of some trouble. Maybe keep you out of jail if you don't jump up and start screaming at the witnesses and the jurors. Because if you do that, Judge Mershon is going to put you in jail. It's that simple. That's where this is going. So, okay, you know, last night we had a technical difficulty and you know, my whole story about the Trumpers attacking us. No, no. They, just a little technical difficulty with the internet. And here we are today, and now you know the story. And honestly, I gave you a few books to read. I'll give you another great book. Here's a good one. So now we're up to 7 jurors, according to Michael Kaysen. That's great. That's my cousin here online. And really, it's going very quickly, very quickly. So they'll get 5 more and then 6 alternates, and we could be ready to go by the end of this week, and that would be great. So anyway, I mentioned a few books, you know, on democracy by Robert Dahl, so you could stop, you know, thinking that we're not a democracy, because we are. I didn't mention, there's another one that's really good. It's by a guy named Saul Cornell. He's a university professor, and he's an expert in the Second Amendment. And this book, let me get the name right. I forget. Anyway, go look up Saul Cornell, C-O-R-N-E-L-L, and I promise you, his book on the Second Amendment is just fabulous. And it again, it's not that everybody has the right to a gun. That's not the Second Amendment. That's what the Supreme Court has made it into, and at least I agree on this much. If the Supreme Court gets 5 people to say something's true, it's true. It doesn't matter what else it was. So it is true that we now say that having a gun is a right because of the Supreme Court. They've said that it's a right. But that's not what the Constitution says. It's not what the Second Amendment says. You know, the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law prohibiting and so forth. If they wanted to, they could have said Congress shall make no law preventing you from having a gun. But they didn't do that, because that's not what it was about. It was about the militia. It was about protecting the country. It was not about you having the right to a gun ever. But that's, you know, another story. You can take my Constitution class and you'll learn all about this. But at any rate, what you really need to know is that the court system in this country is providing Donald Trump with due process extraordinaire, beyond what anybody else would get. And they're doing it so that when they finally lock him up, and I'm saying they will, I'm sure they will. I know, innocent until proven guilty. Yeah. Yes, that's true. But, you know, when you've got all of these 88 charges against you, certainly the record in federal court is that 95% are convicted. 95%. So don't be holding your breath for Donald getting away with this. He's not getting away with anything. So, you know, in the final 10 minutes that we've got, I want to get off of Donald just for a second, and I want to talk about what's happening in the United States Congress with regard to the money that's going to Ukraine, because as I hope most people know, Michael Johnson, the Speaker, has caved in. He has said, we're gonna vote on everything. We're going to vote on aid to Israel, to Taiwan, and to Ukraine. And he's trying to divide it up into 4 different bills and play games with it. But he's also said that if Congress wants to do it in one bill, he'll do it in one bill. So I understand Marjorie Taylor Greene wants to vacate him in the in his speaker's position. And maybe she will, maybe she won't. But they're going to get this thing passed. They're going to get the money out there. $60 billion worth of weaponry is going to Ukraine. And really, they need that weaponry for the most obvious reason. Look at Iran and Israel. We have built up Israel's capabilities. And when Iran shot 300 ballistic missiles and drones and everything else, all at Israel. 99% was shot down. And then some people say, well, all those things were going slow and Iran really wasn't trying to get anybody. Let me tell you something. The experts say that what was done was a great accomplishment, and it didn't just happen to be that these things were going 10 miles an hour, because they were going faster than that. And that nothing got through. I mean, you know, I get upset when people say, well, just that one little girl got hurt. Because let me say, it's terrible that that one little girl got hurt. That's not good. I guess they're saying she's going to be okay, and I hope that that's true. But it's not okay for one little girl to get hurt. But it is a great accomplishment that only one little girl got hurt. But the point is, we need to do this, and we were doing it for Ukraine. And we need to get back doing this for Ukraine, because Russia needs to be stopped. I mean, there's just no way around it. We need to stop Russia in its tracks right now, because Vladimir Putin is in business with Donald Trump. And the last thing we need is the two of them running this country. Because I promise you, if Donald Trump were the president, and he won't be, but if he were the president of the United States, well, Vladimir Putin would be his mentor, his leader, his puppet master, whatever you want to call it. I mean, there's no question that Vladimir Putin is running Trump. This didn't happen by accident with Trump. 144 illegal meetings between Trump's people and Vladimir Putin's people. That's what was memorialized in the writings of Robert Mueller. Go read the Mueller report and you'll know what they were up to. This is no joke. This is not just Russian misinformation. When I hear that, it makes me crazy. There's no misinformation from the Russians that America would really buy into. Not really. Now, it's true that they will believe anything that Donald says without even listening. Now, that's true. But if they really listened to the information from the Russians, they would not believe any of it. So the fact here is that there's only one thing we can do. Stop Russia right now with Ukrainian soldiers who are ready to do the job. And they just need the weapons. They had them, but the Republicans stepped in and blocked all this. And now, why do you think the Republicans have stepped up and said, oh, we're going to take a vote? Because of what happened in Iran. That's what they're worried about. They're worried about how Iran attacked Israel, and they do not want to be charged with destroying Ukraine after we've seen what is necessary based on what was done to support Israel. There's just no getting around it. You could be upset about the two-state solution and all the other stuff, but there's no getting around this. Iran did the same thing that the Arabs have done since 1948, 1956, 1967, 72, 80, every one of those times, the Arabs all jumped up to destroy Israel, and Israel fought back very quickly and shut it all down because of the power of the United States. And it's that power that needs to protect Ukraine, because first, we need to stop Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump from taking control of this country. That's one thing. But the other thing is that you don't want Vladimir Putin running rampaging all over Europe, taking back countries for the old Soviet Union, because that's what he's got on his mind. And then furthermore, you don't want China going after Taiwan. And they won't do it if there's a risk. But if they think there's no risk, then they might. And that's the key, is that we have created a situation where certainly Vladimir Putin was willing to take the risk. He's got an economy with $1.4 trillion worth of GDP. That's like nothing. Yet you remember that's the old John McCain. It's a gas station with an army. So that's no big deal. But on the other hand, China's got $17 trillion of GDP that they want to protect. And they're going to protect it. And they are not going to jump out and run wild unless they think that the United States has been completely neutralized. And we have to make sure that they know that that is not the case, that Donald does not own this country with Vladimir Putin. And that when we make a promise, which we did to the Ukrainians, we took those nuclear weapons from the Soviet Union days, we dismantled them, and we promised Ukraine, you won't have the weapons, but you won't need them because you'll have us. And so now we're fulfilling that promise. That's what's happening in Ukraine. Don't let anybody kid you into thinking this is anything that Donald Trump is talking about, corruption or any of that nonsense. We are fulfilling a promise that we made in the early 1990s when the Soviet Union disbanded. And frankly, I mean, that's what we're going to do. We are going to live up to that promise. The Republicans tried to stop it, but what happened in Iran this weekend ended all of that. That story is over. Now we're on the track, which we were on from the beginning, which is that the United States has got to stop the Soviets, the old Soviets, the Vladimir Putin-style Soviets. We've got to stop those people from reasserting their empire. That's what they want, and that's what they can't have. Okay, we will be back tomorrow with all kinds of new talk about the Donald Trump trial. And if he can make it another week staying out of jail, he'll be lucky. But I won't be in jail. I'll be right here. I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.